Welcome to episode 84 of the Golf Talk Podcast. I think 84 was the scoring average at the Masters, and that's what we'll be talking about this week. This is, of course, brought to you by thesandtrap.com, and I'm Eric Barseski. Alan Olson is joining me from Kalamazoo or something.
Ironwood, Michigan, close enough.
Well, let's hop right into it. Trevor Immelman has won the 72nd Masters, shooting a final round 75 and winning by 3 shots. Fortunately, playoff hockey was on. My Penguins played on Monday, so I finally awoke from the slumber the Masters put me in.
Yeah, I had to have a heavy dose of caffeine Monday morning to kind of wake up from that, which is too bad. The first couple rounds were pretty exciting.
And Saturday was okay. Saturday was probably the best round. Saw some decent scoring. That's the day Tiger Woods shot 68. The other day, 72, 72, and 71, not in that order. Any comments we make, let's be clear right up front, do not take away from Trevor Immelman. He was a good player. He's now known to be a good player. So nothing we say about how boring the Masters might have been should take away from Trevor Immelman. He won the tournament.
No, he played great over the first 3 days and then hung on the day four to win. So congratulations to Trevor.
What surprised you most about this year's Masters?
The scoring in the first 3 rounds.
Yeah, the scoring average was around 72, 73, 74.
You know, last year, you know, I even made the comment when we made our predictions on sandtrap.com was, you know, last year we watched, and it was like you're watching a U.S. Open, and, you know, there wasn't any scoring, and there weren't any birdies. And, I mean, it really wasn't fun to watch. Whereas this year...
Do you think it changed that much this year, though?
In the first few rounds, well, I mean, at one point, Immelman's 11 under. That, yeah. I would not have predicted that for the
Masters. Sure, but even throughout the week, and I mean, even before Sunday, when the round conditions, you know, the wind picked up a little bit, the rest of the rounds were pretty much under ideal conditions. I mean, we had wet greens on Saturday, especially. We had no wind, and the field was still averaging 74. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, high 73s if you take out all the old farts that are shooting 80. So, you know, I don't think that's horribly low, given the conditions that we saw. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that was the only reason it got to 11 under was because the greens were soft on Saturday, especially. And I think they softened the pins up considerably on Friday. A lot of those pin locations were not in their normal Friday spots, and a lot of them were in fairly easier spots. You know, and that goes to what I think I was talking about with Billy Payne. I also noticed on Sunday, all the tees were basically at the front. The course was playing as short as it could possibly play for professional golfers. But all throughout the week, they were talking about how brutal the conditions were. I'd never heard the word brutal used so much as at a U.S. Open or a British Open when they have horrible weather all week. The word brutal was like the word this year. You know, Tiger Woods talked about trying to hang on, and just Trevor Immelman talked about just making pars. That's bizarre.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's a very good point.
So, and the final round was boring because first 3 rounds, I'll give you a little bit there. I mean, the scoring was good there, and there was some interest. But at the same time, it wasn't like you made eagle and then you made a bogey on the next hole and then you made an eagle again and then you made 3 birdies and then 2 double bogeys in a row. You know, that's almost like more normal, I guess, the scoring. This year, it was par, 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 bogey, birdie, par, 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 birdie, par, 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 par. I don't know if that's 18, but you get the point. That's how it was this year. I mean, it was more grind it style of birdies, you know, and if you happen to hit it close, you get a birdie. The rest of the time, you're just trying to 2-putt for your par. Didn't you get that sense? I mean, we had the stats up here linked, and there were 19 eagles this year. Previous final rounds have seen 19 eagles.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what the way the course is designed now and having been stretched out and stuff added and whatnot, that's probably been the biggest detriment is the fact you don't have eagles. You don't have that, you get a few here and there, but you don't get that, you know, whereas before, I mean, like you said, you'd have 19 eagles on Sunday.
Everybody went for the green before. I mean, you watch the 1978 thing, or you watch the 1986, or you watch any of those older ones. Everybody was going for the greens on the par fives. I mean, I don't care. Gary Player was hitting it on the greens, and he wasn't exactly the long hitter in his day. He was the pee popper in his day. An accurate pee popper, but a pee popper. He was going for the greens on the par fives. Now everybody's laying up. I mean, they've taken, you know, I still think they've taken, and it's been a short time. I mean, Phil Mickelson shot, what, a 31 or something on the back nine in 2004. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that long ago, but they seem to have no adjustability for weather because maybe it's because they don't have those tees like we talked about in between the pro tees and the member tees like we talked about last week. Also, the addition of trees. I mean, 15 is more pinched than it used to be. 11 is still kind of a mess. You know, the trees have kind of crept in a little bit as well. So, you know, Augusta used to be, again, we say about the angles, but you could still pull off a great recovery shot if you were off your angle. Now you're in the trees. And like we saw with Tiger Woods, you're chipping out and pitching on. So
yeah,
they have no adjustability for weather. When it's perfect conditions, scoring is about where you kind of expect, even though under perfect weather conditions, guys are still laying up and not really doing the eagle thing. But under imperfect weather conditions, they have no ability to adjust the course to have any sort of excitement.
No, and that's a good point. I think what you mentioned last week, you know, the member tees are, what, 6,400 yards?
62, somewhere in there, yeah.
62, you know, and the pros are, yeah, I mean, to not be able to adjust. I thought it was kind of weird, too. I can't remember off the top of my head. It's, you know, one of the par threes on, you know, round one is like 250 yards.
Yeah, the fourth hole. And then other days, I think they played from the members' tees at 188 or 190 to 5 or something.
I mean, that just seems, I mean, that's just a huge variation. It just, yeah, they still have some more. Hopefully Billy Payne, I mean, he's got some work in front of him.
And I think he's doing the right thing. I think moving the tees up on Sunday, that's about all they could do. The pins were in their normal spots, so, you know, but people know that. But then again, like holes like number seven used to be a sandwich birdie hole. Now it's 450 up a hill. Guys are hitting five irons into it, and it's not a birdie hole anymore. There's length in unnecessary places, and there's rough and trees, and just no adjustability of conditions, so whatever. I mean, it was boring. Trevor Immelman had a six-shot lead most of the back nine. He shoots, I mean, when have you ever heard of a guy shooting a final round 75 at the Masters and winning by three when he had six guys within five shots of him starting the day? Tiger Woods couldn't putt.
No.
It was pathetic. It was the worst putting display I think I've ever seen Tiger Woods put on.
Yeah, I mean, it was brutal. I mean, I think he was finished like 30th or 31st putting for the week.
Yeah, I honestly think one of us could have putted for him at least on three specific putts and done better. You know, and he says he blames it on not being able to start the putts online, but sometimes he had the speed off and sometimes it looked like he was just overreading everything. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you expect him to miss, you know, 10, 15 feet, but he missed a couple that were with, you know, under 10, the guy's virtually automatic. They didn't look like they were huge.
He missed at least six putts under 10 feet, I think, in the final round, including a birdie putt on 16. You know, including a 5-footer on 13, including a 15-footer on 15. He 3-putted 14. The only putt he made that day was the 80-footer on 11, basically. That's the only putt that Tiger Woods made that a 4-handicapper might not have made, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre. I mean, just between that, and I think he was 30th, 31st in putting, and I think he was beyond that even in driving.
Yeah.
And he just, oh.
It was a bad week, and for all the people that don't want to talk about his B game, I mean, he was, about 7th, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th in greens in regulation at 69.4%. Trevor Immelman was just ahead of him. He hit one more green than Tiger Woods the entire week, so it wasn't there that he won or lost. Driving accuracy, who knows where Tiger Woods was, down low at the bottom of the people that made the cut. Driving distance, he was, of course, about 12th or so. But putting, Tiger Woods was about 30th in a field of 45 that made the cut in putting. He averaged 1.67 putts per green. The worst was 1.79, and Trevor Immelman was at 1.56. Not first, but he was fifth. So a little over 0.1 putts per green. Multiply that by 18, that's two putts per round. Tiger Woods putts half as well as Trevor Immelman, and he wins, literally. Or half the difference, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I mean...
Two years in a row. I mean, he's creeping up on Jack's 19 now. He's got 5 second-place finishes in the Masters. But here's the weird thing. 3 of those have come within the last year. At Augusta last year, at the U.S. Open last year, and at Augusta this year. With his win at the PGA and like a T12 or something at the British Open. It's been a good, you know, year and a week, but only one major. More than anything, I think this Masters was more about, we used to look to like Augusta for answers, and I think this Masters was more about questions. Can Trevor Immelman, who has one PGA Tour win to this point, step up and be the guy that he was this week and that people think he will be now? Will Tiger Woods, is he on the downslope putting-wise in his career, and can he get that back? And what the heck are they doing at Augusta National? I mean, there's a lot more questions than that, but I think it was a week of questions instead of a week of answers.
Yeah, we certainly don't know much going into the rest of the golf season, like you said. I mean, I think the thing that, I mean, Trevor Immelman's a very accurate driver. Is, you know, is that something that he's going to be able to continue on? He's going to need that at the U.S. Open. You know, some of the other names that we saw. Oh, Steve Flesch.
Yeah, had a chance. Phil Mickelson. You know, I mean, he finished his T5. He shoots a 75 in the third round and an even par. Even par was a good day on Sunday. Padraig Harrington shoots a 72 and moves way up the leaderboard. You know, Steve Flesch shoots a 78 to drop out of it, but he drops to T5 with a 78. It's just bizarre. The one other question I saw.
How about Paul Casey shooting a 79?
Yeah, Nick Watney shoots a 71 and skyrockets up the leaderboard. It was a weird day. Well, safe to say we could talk about the Masters for another 20 minutes, but we'll be back in a second after this message from Titleist with our forum topic of the week.
I marked my Titleist with a black dot left of the number, with blue brackets around the Titleist.
First, I black out the number, and then I make the Kelly Green 13.
Un pequeño círculo.
A black line over the Pro V1X.
Black dot over the 9.
For 20 years, a black dot over the tee.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball.
It's how you mark your Titleist.
How do you mark your Titleist?
Welcome back. Our forum topic of the week is about the Masters. And forum member Orf wants to know if the Masters is too fabricated. Short answer, no.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. He thinks that it's silly that they have to call the people patrons and that they have to wear, the caddies have to wear their little white outfits. And he thinks the members, someone called them the staff, Billy Payne, the staff. But no, he thinks the members or other people do think that they're pretentious, snobby, and so on. Basically, they think that they seem to be confusing tradition with fabrication. Nothing about Augusta is fabricated. It's all tradition. I mean, I think Jim Nantz is the most fabricated thing about Augusta National because he's pretty darn schmaltzy and it's kind of sickening. But that's not the Masters. That's Jim Nantz.
Yeah, it's almost as if we're gonna toss. And I'm just reading. I mean, this went on for 9 pages, and it's like some of these people that post in there. It's like, do you have any idea of golf history other than what happened last year?
If anything, Jack Nicklaus's Memorial Tournament is fabricated because he tries to make it like the Masters.
Right.
But even then, I mean, that's just like, you know, green cups and, you know, a 12th hole that plays about the same yardage over water to a peanut-shaped green and, you know, things like that. That's not even really fabricated. That's just, you know, Jack loves the Masters so much, so he wanted to create kind of his own homage to it. So I guess nothing more needs to be said. No, it's not fabricated. It's tradition, and there's a big difference. And if you can't see it,
ditto.
We'll be right back.
I mark my Titleist with a black line and a red line. Black dot over the 9.
A red line through the side stamp.
With a dot between the Titleist and the number.
With Korean flag.
I mark my ball with a kangaroo. Does anybody else do it like this?
Check it out.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball.
It's how you mark your Titleist.
How do you mark your Titleist?
Welcome back. Lorena Ochoa is now qualified for the LPGA Hall of Fame. They do it on a point system. You have to win so many tournaments plus so many majors or some combination of those to get in. But you also need 10 years of service or 10 years of membership. And so Lorena will have to wait another 4 years to actually be inducted. But she's qualified, and if she plays for 4 years, she'll be eligible. And I think winning a major qualifies you. So she doesn't even need to play, I don't think, for four more years. And I think she's qualified as a member because she won a major. So I think she's technically a member for 4 years. But obviously she will play through part of those 4 years.
She can retire right now.
She can retire right now and be a member of the LPGA Hall of Fame. But she's still got 2 more majors to win for the career Grand Slam. And Lorena Ochoa, it should be said, has a much better chance of winning the yearly Grand Slam than Tiger Woods ever would.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I don't even think it's not even a contest.
And that's just the depth of the field on the PGA Tour versus the LPGA Tour. So we're not saying she's...
I mean, congratulations for winning the Corona Championship, but you basically, you know, I think that's away from the big break, finished in the top 10.
Right. So yeah, I think one other top 50 player was there. So this win in particular, not a big deal, but she won the first major. She won the last major last year. She could win all 4 this year, I think. So,
well, the way she's playing right now, I mean, yeah, she's dominating, so.
Yeah, we'll see if she does. The Par 3 tournament was on this year, and unfortunately, I found it pretty obnoxious. I watched about 15 minutes, and then I kind of fast-forwarded. The only interesting parts were some of the holes in one. I got really tired of watching a bunch of 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds throwing putters, and, I mean, it was daycare on the PGA Tour. I blame Jeff Maggart. It was pointed out several times that he's the guy that started the tradition. And I think for this to be interesting at all, I think maybe we should have an age limit. And maybe the kids, if they want to be caddies, should only caddy.
Yeah, if you're not taller than a golf bag, you shouldn't be on.
You shouldn't be putting. I don't know. I mean, it made a mockery of something that I get that it's supposed to be fun. I get that. It's only been like 12 years that kids have been out there, and it's supposed to be fun for the contestants. It's not supposed to be, you know, what fans really care to see Phil Mickelson's little boy running around with a putter.
You know, we talked about tradition and history. I mean, par three tournament is a big deal. Now it looks like something that, you know, it looks like Uncle Al's mini golf kitchen putt or something.
Are you Uncle Al?
Yeah, I'll be Uncle Al for this. Okay. And it just, it took something and it was just, it completely cheapened it. And
we didn't even get to see like the holes. Like they didn't even show, I don't even know if we saw all nine holes, but they didn't do like flyovers or little graphics. I'd be interested to see what the holes were like. And I know that like, I saw the first hole. I saw the ninth hole several times. Outside of that, I don't know. It would have been nifty to see like a little course layout, you know, instead it was just, you know, and it ran long. So we got to see babysitting for an extra hour.
Right. Yeah, if you were hoping to watch this, if you watch this and you think that's the regular speed golf is played, oh my gosh.
Well, that's something else too about the Masters, the nice 5-hour rounds we got to see all weekend.
So
we won't get into that, but my goodness, seriously, 2 hours to play, 2.5 hours to play 9 holes of par 3 golf?
Yeah,
the last group played in is a sixsome. Whatever. Finally, here an interesting stat. Some woman has calculated that when Tiger Woods is in the field, players shoot an average of 0.8 strokes per round higher. And it says she accounted for differences in field and course difficulty. So, you know, my initial thought was, well, Tiger Woods plays tough courses, so course guys are going to shoot higher. But she says she accounted for that, so I don't know. Tiger Woods being in the field, guys mentally concede a little bit to him and either focus on him and or try harder, and when you try harder as a golfer, you tend to screw up more. Anyway, she says a 0.8 stroke difference. Do you believe that, or do you think there's a statistics telling a lie here somehow?
What do they say about statistics? Anyway, look, when Tiger plays, people play worse. Sure, look at everybody who's paired with Tiger in the final round of a Masters. Typically, they play worse. I don't know.
That's paired with them, though. That's not even in the same field.
Yeah, I mean, to sit there, I mean, where the guys on Sunday at the Masters, Tiger was playing, you know, the course was kicking their butt. Tiger wasn't kicking their butt.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think there might be something to it, but I think I haven't seen anywhere near a full report on this, so I can't really say, and I'm a little skeptical. Take it for what it is. We will have to see what Trevor Immelman does after the Masters win. Of course, to this point, has one PGA Tour victory, and some will remember that Gary Player, by the way, I got sick of hearing about Gary Player over the weekend. Yet another thing that put me to sleep. But anyway, some will remember that Gary Player picked Trevor Immelman for the President's Cup team 3 years ago, giving Trevor Immelman a 2-year exemption to the PGA Tour. And then the PGA Tour changed the rule in a ruling known as the Trevor Immelman rule to disallow or discontinue that practice of giving PGA Tour exemptions to President's Cup members. Because at the time, Trevor wasn't quite perhaps the best pick for the President's Cup, and some looked at it as Gary playing favorites a little bit in order to get Trevor Immelman onto the PGA Tour. So he certainly earned his place now. Of course, he won the Western Open last year, I believe, with Tiger in the field. And of course, now he's a Masters champion. So it'll be interesting to see if he can do at least what Jeff Ogilvie has done in winning at least another tournament or two after winning the Masters. My money is on yes.
I think so. I mean, I don't think he's going to be Michael Campbell, Sean McKeel.
Well, see, and that's one point I wanted to mention, too. The U.S. Open, the sorry thing about the U.S. Open is the winners of the U.S. Open, oftentimes, lately, especially in the past, you know, 15, 20 years, tend to be Michael Campbell and Angel Cabrera and, you know, people that we don't hear much from again. No. Prior to 2 years ago in the Masters, they had a lot of big stars winning it, and I hope Trevor Immelman can elevate himself into that category. But Zach Johnson and Trevor Immelman at this point, Mike Weir. They're good golfers, but they're not, you know, they're closer to the U.S. Open winners we've seen lately than what you'd expect from a Masters winner.
I mean, what does that say for the other guys that are in the top 10?
Well, what's it say for the course setup? I don't know, because the joke has been that it's been more like a U.S. Open lately, and now we're starting to see winners that are more like U.S. Open winners. So, I mean, Andy North won 2 U.S. Opens. I don't want guys like that winning 2 Masters.
Yeah.
On that note, that concludes episode 84 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Check our show notes out online for links to the stories we've talked about this week. Until next year, or until June, I guess, when we get the U.S. Open part due. Until next week. We'll talk to you next week, guys. Take care.
See ya.